So what if everything you've been told about adrenal fatigue is wrong? What if your stress, exhaustion, brain fog, insomnia, anxiety, even your hormones aren't actually coming from your adrenals? So today we're uncovering the tiny part of your brain that may be running the entire show, and almost nobody is talking about it. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Today we're kicking off an incredible series with someone who has spent more than 30 years helping patients solve the health mysteries that conventional medicine often misses. Joining us is Deborah Marigopoulos, Sproard Certified Family Nurse Practitioner, founder of Genesis Health Products, creator of Genesis Gold and Sacred Seven, author of six books, including The Hypothalamus Handbook, and known around the world as the Hormone Queen. So here's why I think today's conversation matters. Millions of people wake up exhausted. They crash every afternoon. They can't sleep. They're anxious. They're gaining weight. They're told it's burnout, adrenal fatigue. They're getting older, or maybe it's simply just stress. But Deborah says we've been looking in the wrong place. Today, she's going to explain why the real control center may actually be your hypothalamus, the master regulator of your hormones, immune system, metabolism, sleep, and stress response. And if that's true, this conversation could completely change how you think about your health. Deborah, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for having me.
This is such an exciting conversation. You know, so many people are going through this exact thing where they're exhausted all the time. And everyone's heard of the term adrenal fatigue. You know, people buy supplements for it, doctors talk about it. But is adrenal fatigue actually the problem?
No, it really isn't. So, in your audience, you have a woman or a man, probably mostly women, right? Who are listening now, right now, who's really exhausted in the middle of the afternoon. She's the woman who has to get coffee, she's craving sugar. And then she can't sleep at night. She wakes up kind of wired in the middle of the night. She gets these spikes of energy and then crashes. And she goes in and gets her blood work checked. And it looks normal. Everything's in normal limits. No matter what her age is, her adrenals look fine. These are the kind of patients I see, except they have a lot more complicated issues. And they've been told that there's really nothing wrong. So they find the term adrenal fatigue, which is not a medical term. Adrenal insufficiency is the medical term. And we don't categorize it as that unless you're making no cortisol whatsoever, which is very rare. So they just basically get bypassed. So they buy a lot of stuff and it works for a little while, adaptogenics and glandulars, and then it just stops working because it treats the messenger, but it doesn't actually treat who sent the message in the first place. Okay, the command center. Most providers treat downstream. We all do. That's how we learn. We go by symptoms and we treat the symptom with something that's going to reverse the symptom. But that's not really getting to the root issue. The hypothalamus, which is a small gland in your brain, controls all of your hormones, including your adrenals. And it is at the root issue of what we call adrenal. So adrenal fatigue is just the name for what you're feeling. Hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis miscommunication is the actual issue. What'll happen is that the hypothalamus actually controls what your pituitary gland produces. And the pituitary gland, which is the one that most of us know about, that little gland that makes stimulating hormones, stimulates the adrenals to produce cortisol. And then cortisol releases stored sugar, so you have energy to fuel your fight or flight. If that is constantly on because you're under a lot of stress, whether it be perceived stress or real stress meaning you're in danger, a tiger's chasing you. Perceived stress is like financial stresses, worries about your kids, worries whether you're going to be late, worries whether your alarm's going to wake you up on time, being stuck in traffic. All of these things are not a danger to your life, but it's stressful. And when it goes on over and over and over again, that HPA axis gets worn out and there's miscommunication that occurs. And the treatment is always down at the adrenals. But really what needs to be treated is the hypothalamus because it becomes worn out by the constant surge of adrenaline that you're producing, telling it we're in danger. You run, freeze, or fight. And that is not the appropriate response when it's chronic, eventually you're going to be worn out. And that's what happens with this trap.
So you definitely call it the CEO of the body. Can you talk about that a little bit?
So if you think of the body as a whole business, a whole corporation, the executive manager, the person who runs it all, the boss of the whole system, the CEO is really the hypothalamus. The pituitary gland is more like a middle manager. Okay. It's lower down. So what we can measure are pituitary hormones, and we can measure adrenal hormones and other hormones like sex hormones and thyroid hormones, but we can't really measure most of the hypothalamic hormones. But we know it's the hypothalamus that actually perceives the lower gland hormones. It's the hypothalamus that's reading adrenaline and cortisol and DHEA, and then telling the pituitary gland to tell the adrenals to make more or less. Okay, so it's the main reader of it, but it's not just reading that one signal. It's reading your blood sugar, your level of inflammation, whether it's day or night, whether there's a good food supply, whether you're about to ovulate, or are you missing your estrogen because you're menopausal. It's reading so many other factors. What's happening in your gut? Is the gut microbiome in balance? Are you fighting a disease? Do you have an injury? It is reading everything about your body. At the same time, and also trying to determine, is this a real danger or not? And most of the time, it's not. Okay. It's the way we're reacting, and it becomes a hyped up response. I like to call my adrenal fatigue people, they come and they're super tired, but usually they start off with kind of what I call like a chihuahua energy. They're always kind of scared and shaking and hyper reactive to things. And then they become not as reactive, and they're not reacting appropriately. They're overreactive for some things and not reacting as well for other things. And that's a miscommunication in the system.
So, I mean, does it take a long time for this to happen to the body? Like if someone is constantly stressed, the body handle it for a while until the body can't handle it anymore. And who is the first to send the signal?
That's a really good question. Yes, it does take a long time. It takes a very long time before your adrenals kind of look like they've pooped out, before the miscommunication occurs, because it's a very, very precise system where the hypothalamus is being triggered by your sympathetic nervous system because you felt danger. You saw something out of the corner of your eye. You felt something touch you. You heard a loud noise. Something made you feel like you were in danger, and you immediately get your alert up. Your senses are up. You're ready to go. And then the hypothalamus has to fuel that stress response by getting your adrenal glands to reduce cortisol and release that stored sugar. If there's not really a stress response, something to run away from, something to fight, then that stored sugar has to go somewhere, and it ends up becoming very inflammatory, and you end up gaining weight around your middle. All of this is happening over a long period of time in chronic stress. It's not immediate. When you're first under stress, you tend to lose the weight and you're really hyped up. But when the stress is chronic, you may still feel wired, but you're tired. And now you're gaining weight, and now you can't sleep in the middle of the night, and you're fatigued during the day. It takes a long time for that miscommunication to occur, because your hypothalamus is going to try to get you out of danger. And eventually it's going to say, why are you still running away from the same tiger? Did we not learn anything here? We need to get up a tree or find another place, because this is still happening.
So then who is essentially the one telling the adrenals what to do?
It's the hypothalamus. It's the master controller. You know what I like to think of it in another way, if you're not much into businesses, is kind of like computers. We just had our own little techno issues just before this all started. So computer, the actual physical computer is like your body. That's the hardware. And the software programs are all your hormones, how your immune system functions, your neurotransmitters. The operating systems is your hypothalamus. You can't function without an operating system. The hardware doesn't function. It's coordinating all those other systems. Okay.
Interesting.
So another way to look at it, which happens a lot, that I see a lot in my patients, is thinking of the hypothalamus as the maestro of an orchestra. And it doesn't have the right sheet music. But what happens is all your glands are the instruments. And so the tuba goes out, we try to retune it, or there's issues with the drummer, there's issues with another string instrument, something's happening. We're constantly tuning up instruments when we should be working on the actual sheet music. We should be working with the maestro, the hypothalamus.
Well, I've been researching a lot of stuff to do with feeling tired and, getting older and hormone stuff. And I have never heard of this before. And that's a little bit frustrating to me because it does sound like the hypothalamus is in charge. Why doesn't anybody know about this?
That's a really good question. So we all learned about it in medical school and nursing school, those of us who've gotten degrees to try to help people heal. You probably did not learn about it unless you took anatomy and physiology. You didn't learn anything about the hypothalamus. The reason we ignore it in medicine, in health, is because we can't really measure its output. And because we don't have lab tests for it, it does take what I call medical detective work to figure it out. So I look at the underlying labs, the labs down below, kind of like a field biologist looking at coyote scat. And I know a coyote's past. I just identified the scat. And I can measure the scat and see if it's a coyote in estrus or if she's nursing a litter or if it's a male coyote, but I've never seen the coyote. Okay. So I'm doing that field biology on your labs and on your history, on what's happening with your body, on your subjective complaints to figure out if it is the hypothalamus that's really at the root of this. It's the real problem here. And most of the time patients come to me and adrenal fatigue is not their only issue. It's profound because the adrenals control so much. But because the adrenals control so much, they're having issues with blood sugar. Because remember, the cortisol releases that stored sugar. And if you're constantly releasing it and your sugar's high, you eventually can develop insulin resistance, which means you're going to gain some weight. Your adrenals also control make a hormone called metkeflin. It's a bunch of different hormones, and that helps to control your immune system. So when you're under chronic stress, you tend to get sick more often. You tend to be vulnerable to infection, to diseases. You don't heal as well with injuries. Okay, chronic high cortisol production because you were revved up all the time makes it so that your tissues wear out. You've probably put like hydrocortisone on an itchy rash, okay? And you've been told to wash your hands because it'll thin the skin. That's what cortisol does inside of your gut, to your bones, to your muscles, to your eyes, to the lining of your tissues. It starts wearing things down. And so then you have to produce a lot of DHEA, which is the partner hormone to cortisol, which helps to repair everything that's going on. That cortisol's breaking up. It's actually helps you metabolize protein and fat so you can repair all those tissues. So I look at DHEA as a way to look at what's been happening with the adrenals over a long period of time. Not just that one cortisol test. I don't know if you ever heard of adrenal saliva testing, where you basically test your saliva and you can test your saliva for melatonin, adrenal hormones, sex hormones. In this case, it's called an adrenal stress test. And you're testing your saliva multiple times during the day when you wake up, at noon, middle of the afternoon, before you go to bed, sometime in the middle of the night. And we should see a pattern with the adrenals. It's nice and high in the morning to release sugar, so the hypothalamus has something to work with. And then it kind of settles down and it spikes every time you eat or if you exercise or if you've been under a stressor. It's always lower in the middle of the afternoon, say 3 to 5 p.m. That's why a lot of societies take siesta then, because that's when the adrenals are the lowest. And then it comes back up around dinner time. And then it slowly fades away until it's almost negligible at night. Because if it's up at night, you're up. You're on alert. You're in fight or flight. So what we see with adrenal fatigue people is oftentimes they're not completely crashed. They don't have complete adrenal insufficiency. They have dyscircadian cortisol production. They're not making enough during the day, and they're making too much at night. It's not functioning normally. But when you draw somebody's blood for cortisol, even the act of drawing the blood can kind of freak them out a little bit, and that can raise the cortisol level up.
Right.
Or like in a saliva test, I did one years ago with a patient, probably 25 years ago. And, we were testing her for adrenal issues. She was doing her saliva test. She actually was feeling pretty good that day. So she did her morning, she did her afternoon, she went on a hike, she broke her ankle, she did her mid-afternoon, and then she did the rest of them. Well, the mid-afternoon was spiked because she had just broken her ankle. She had a major
Right.
stressor. That didn't really reflect what was really going on with her. So the good news is we knew she could make cortisol. The bad news is she kind of bottomed out for the rest of the day because that's all she had. That's all she had in her itch. That's all the gas she had. So it can be a little bit hard to read these tests, and it can be hard to really know what's going on unless you're asking a lot of questions about like how they got to this point in the first place.
Right. And I think that's where the frustration comes in, because a lot of people suffer from, you know, the exhaustion, the high cortisol, anxiety. And then I hear this all the time, like people saying that they're doing everything, you know, the meditation, the supplements, sleeping more, working out, but they still feel that exhaustion or high cortisol spiking like 3 a.m. and later. Why isn't things like the meditation, supplements, and sleeping more working?
Well, a lot of it will work in the moment, or they'll work for a little bit of time, because it's kind of like just putting a little bit of gas in your engine. But if there's something wrong with the motor in the first place, you need to fix it, okay? And there's something wrong with the motor in the first place. The communication between the master controller, your hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the adrenal gland has been overfiring. So now the hypothalamus is no longer listening to the adrenals anymore. It's kind of like you're cooking in the kitchen and you're sauteing some onions. And then your partner walks into the kitchen and said, hey, are you burning those onions? You didn't notice it, because the scent kind of overwhelmed you and all your olfactory sensors got overwhelmed and you no longer noticed the burning, but they noticed it right away. That's what happens. That's what insensitivity is. And that happens in the hypothalamus when the adrenals are crying wolf all the time. Eventually it becomes a little insensitive to it. Like, I can't be listening to this all the time. I can't spend all my attention on you when I have other things I need to spend attention on. In fact, that's how I actually discovered the hypothalamus. It was patients like this. This was back in like the late 90s. I had just started my integrative practice. I had told the universe, I want to learn everything possible about neuroimmune endocrinology. So the universe complied and sent me the sickest people you could imagine. So adrenal fatigue was just one of their issues. They were having weight management issues, insomnia. They were going through some other hormonal change. Some of them had neurological issues like multiple sclerosis, autoimmune disorders. They were anxious. They were depressed. They were taking a ton of drugs. They wanted to switch everything over to natural stuff, which I did, just like most functional medicines. But I was still giving them a lot of stuff. And I just kept trying to research, like, what am I missing here? And I told the universe, listen, show me what I'm missing. And I got this magazine in my office and it had a fat white mouse on it. It was Scientific America, and a normal size white mouse. And the fat white mouse had all the issues my patients had, and it was infertile and it had all kinds of issues. They sacrificed that mouse and found that it wasn't producing a certain hormone by the hypothalamus called POMC, pro-opioid melanocortin. You don't have to memorize that. But one big hormone that controlled adrenals, thyroid, glucose metabolism, day-night cycles, and your happy hormones, as well as how well your liver stores glycogen. It was controlling so many things, and that was completely off. So just like my patients, that little mouse was overweight and infertile and anxious and couldn't sleep. Its day-night cycles were messed up and its gut was messed up and it had some weird skin rashes, and just like my patients. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to focus on the hypothalamus. That's what I've been missing this whole time.
Wow. So Deborah, I'd love to ask you about the wired at night and exhausted in the morning thing. I feel like a lot of people, including myself, I feel like as soon as morning comes, I can't get out of bed. But the second it gets dark out, I'm like suddenly wired and I feel like I can conquer the world. Why is that happening?
So if your adrenals have been under stress for a long time, and so many of us are, we're stressed by a toxic environment, by maybe we're not eating all the nutrition our body needs, we aren't getting as much sleep as we need, you know, we're basically, and we have a lot of, you know, emotional and social stressors on us. So we're constantly stressed. We don't have any downtime. So what happens is our adrenals actually go into high alert when you should be quieting down. It's almost like there's too much noise during the day. And so the adrenals are so exhausted because they've been working. They've been on graveyard shift. Okay. You're kind of flipped. And that's because the hypothalamus at that point has reversed over to nocturnal mode and can't be spending any time paying attention to the adrenal glands. So it's trying to clean house, getting the immune system to do its job, and the adrenals are just off. And so resetting that requires we reset the hypothalamus because it's controlling the circadian rhythm. Because every time that cortisol spikes, your melatonin drops. Can't sleep. Okay. And you will feel not only I'm awake, but you're like alert. You're like somebody yelled or a baby cried or somebody dropped something, but you're like high alert. And maybe your heart's racing a little bit and you're like, you've got anxious thoughts and did somebody break into the house? I mean, you have this weird kind of anxiety, and that's that cortisol surge. Okay, in the middle of the night. It's usually because you've had so much stress, your adrenals are just so pooped out that they're not even responding to the normal day-night cycle rhythms, and your hypothalamus is not sending the right signals to the adrenal glands to say, okay, knock it off at night, turn on in the morning. That's what I need you to do. So some of it is because your sympathetic nervous system, which you're trying to calm down with your meditation, you're trying to raise your parasympathetic response with deep breathing. Okay, all of that, it's that sympathetic nervous system is firing constantly. And it's almost like you don't have enough parasympathetic response. And the hypothalamus controls that. It controls the autonomic nervous system, both branches, sympathetic and parasympathetic. And because the boy who cried wolf constantly, the system that's constantly saying we're on fire when there really isn't a fire, that's the sympathetic nervous system firing constantly. And that adrenaline surge, constant adrenaline surge, it gets your heart rate up, your blood pressure up, their hair standing on end, you feeling nervous, is constantly triggering the hypothalamus, and it has to start blunting it. It's like, knock it off. You keep staying where the house is on fire. The house is not on fire. We've got to digest food. I've got to deal with the ovaries. I got to help the thyroid make more hormones. We've got to control the immune system. Like adrenaline, you need to knock it off. And there starts to be this, like putting fingers in the ears of the cell receptors in the hypothalamic level to what's going on with the adrenals because it's constantly crying wolf. Does that make sense?
Does make sense. So, can you walk us through what cortisol is actually supposed to do and what does healthy cortisol look like over 24 hours?
Okay, I can do that. So cortisol's job is to release glycogen, which is a form of stored sugar from your muscles and your liver so that you have energy to run away from danger or to fight the danger. That is its main job. You only have about 400 calories of that stored sugar. So it is actually supposed to be actually go up in the morning. And the reason it goes up is because your melatonin falls. So at dawn, when your melatonin falls, cortisol level rises. The reason it rises is because as soon as the melatonin falls, your hypothalamus, which is starting to perceive the daylight, wakes up and looks around for blood sugar, and there's not enough blood sugar to run the day. So it immediately wakes your adrenal glands up. Come on, let's get going. We got to make some cortisol. I need some sugar right now. I can't wait till we break our fast. So it stimulates the pituitary with something called corticorelease hormone to tell the pituitary gland to release that ACTH to tell the adrenals to release cortisol. And the adrenals do that. And then you get this big spike in the morning, releases all that glycogen. You break your fast so you can fill the sugar stores back up. You have breakfast. Okay. And you see these cortisol spikes. First thing in the morning is the highest. And then it kind of goes down during the day. Okay. And you get little spikes that when you eat, when you exercise, when you get excited, and then it goes down during the day, has this little kind of slump in the middle of the day. That's siesta time, 3 to 5. And then it comes up again around dinner time. And then it falls down to all, like I said, negligible levels, very, very, very low. So the adrenals can rest. They're supposed to be off at nighttime. That's what a good cortisol should look like. People with adrenal fatigue, they can't get it up in the morning at all. So they wake up and they're exhausted. So they have to have caffeine because caffeine kind of gives you that kind of stimulus. It'll kind of stimulate your adrenals a little bit and kind of help release some of that blood sugar through this alternative stimulus, but it doesn't last. So you have to have that cup of coffee. Maybe you have to have 2 or 3 cups of coffee to get going. And you just aren't perky. You don't jump out of bed. You're not the robin finding the early morning, the worm. You're not that person. You're just kind of, I can barely make it. And then you finally maybe get it up a little bit, enough to function, and then you crash in the afternoon. It's funny, but almost all my adrenal patients will schedule their visits with me in the afternoon. I can barely talk to them because they're barely awake. This is
Right.
not a good time for you. You're not going to be able to understand anything that we're doing because it's afternoon. It's the worst time for them. We're all a little sleepy during that time, but for them, it's really bad. And then they get the second wind at night, almost like the adrenals like finally say, okay, wait, wait, I just needed 12 hours to wake up. Now I'm up. And now they can't turn it off. They can't fall asleep. And then they, because they haven't gotten it much done during the day, they stay on their screens. They try to do work. They're stimulating their sympathetic nervous system, which is telling their hypothalamus, just keep the adrenals up because we need to do some stuff. And then they, you know, they end up feeling exhausted because they don't get deep sleep. And it just becomes this constant cycle.
So how much of this is emotional versus physical stress versus inflammatory causes?
It's all of it. So chronic stressors, whether it's a disease, an injury, emotional stress, financial stress, social stress, you know, time stressor, all of that feeds into this hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis issue. Nutritional deficits are huge. You know, a lot of people aren't getting what their adrenals need to actually do the work, but more so they're not getting what the hypothalamus needs to orchestrate the whole system. Then you have stressors like toxins. Your hypothalamus is not protected by the blood-brain barrier, which protects the rest of your brain. So it is exposed to every toxin you get exposed to, whether it be a heavy metal or a pesticide or a bacteria pathogen. Everything goes to the hypothalamus. And the reason that happens is because it's also getting all the nutrients too. Okay. It's reading everything in your bloodstream all the time. There's no filter. So it can tell what's happening in space or time. But that means it can become inflamed really easily. And that inflammation can also be part of the issue with the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, which is usually the issue. Hypothalamic dysfunction is almost always inflammation of the hypothalamus. So there's a lot of different factors there. And, you know, we can't control them all. You can't control your environment. You may be able to learn to control the way you react to stressors and learn how to meditate and deep breathe, but it does take, you know, take practice. And if you're already stressed because you're physically ill, because your adrenals aren't functioning properly, it's really hard on your body to even do that practice.
Yeah, 100%. Are there habits that are quietly keeping people sick? Like, are there things that your clients are surprised by that are keeping their stress response turned on?
Yes. One of the big habits that I see is that the person will tend to work really hard in a short period of time. It's like they sprint. Okay. So they'll do intense exercise when they can, and that just wears their adrenals out. They're not gentle with their body. Okay. Or they'll be very restrictive in their dieting or only eat a few different things, thinking some of these things are causing, you know, all this other stress causing inflammation. So I'm going to limit my diet to these five things. And that provides a nutritional deficit for the hypothalamus. So it can't work properly. They don't go to bed at a reasonable time. And by a reasonable time, I mean, our bodies were meant to be like chickens. When it's dark, we should be going to bed. Okay. And so it wants to shut down when it's dark, but then we get on a screen, we watch television, we're on our phones, and we're telling our hypothalamus it's still daylight. So we have this longer extended light exposure that puts our hypothalamus off in terms of its nocturnal mode and also stimulates the adrenals artificially as well. When they're already pooped out, they can barely function. They're kind of run out of gas. So sometimes people do things that they think are going to be good for them because I have the energy now, I might as well do it, but it's actually the wrong. You're actually reinforcing the dyscircadian imbalance.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to get to the solution. But before we talk any further, I just want to address the audience. If you're listening right now and you're thinking this sounds exactly like me, Deborah has put together a free hypothalamus reset bundle to help you better understand what's happening in your body and where to start. So you can download it using the link in today's show notes. And if this is resonating with you and you feel like it could help someone else, please send it to them because sometimes the right conversation can change absolutely everything. So I want to go a little bit further here, Deborah, because you have so many decades of clinical experience. I'm curious, who is the patient that walks into your office? Because I have a feeling they're the people who've already been everywhere else before they find the solution. Is that typical?
Well, that's absolutely typical. I have a patient example if you want me to share that I think would really
Absolutely.
speak to your audience. So this was a woman who came to see me, and this was a while ago. This was probably 20 years ago. And she was about 53 at the time, very, very, very thin, very anxious kind of person, kind of nervous about everything, people pleaser. And she had been diagnosed with adrenal fatigue by functional medicine. She had been given anti-anxiety medications, antidepressants. She wasn't sleeping, so she was given medication to sleep. She had tried, adaptogens. She also had anorexia for a long time and was in menopause at this point, so she also had quite a bit of bone loss. I don't know how much was from the anorexia or how much was from the high cortisol that she was just living on in her younger years. She was definitely a chihuahua kind of per nervous system. That kind of nervous person. And she'd been suffering for a long time, but it got really bad in the last 2 years when she was going through menopause. And that's because when your sex steroids, pull out of the picture, you no longer have that support. And the DHEA that your adrenal glands produce get converted over to sex steroids instead of counterbalancing all the cortisol. So by the time she came to see me, she'd already been told that, all of her labs looked normal for her age. She was obsessively exercising because she was an anorectic, but also because that's the only thing that made her feel better because it released endorphins. So she was exercising like crazy. And she was, staying up a little bit too late, trying to go to bed, but staying up a little bit too late. And although she tried caffeine, it just made her feel more wired and then she'd crash. So she tended to crash really hard in the afternoon and then just beat herself up emotionally because she couldn't get all her stuff done. So she was really a mess, and she had real stressors, but this has been a they had been a chronic problem for her. So when she came to see me, I said, "We have really got to start treating upstream." And I tested her adrenals with that adrenal stress test, like I told you about the saliva test, and you could see that, yeah, she had a little baby spike in the morning, but not much in the afternoon. Totally crashed in the late afternoon, and then she had a spike in the middle of the night. Which is when she was up. So she had that dyscircadian cortisol. If you actually measure her blood cortisol, she was making it. So they were telling her, you're fine. But she wasn't. She was backwards the way she was making it. So we started with hypothalamic support, my nutraceutical support. And we did that because I really felt if we could treat her hypothalamus and help to optimize its function, that we wouldn't have to do all the other things she was doing. Okay. When we also supported her with bioidenticals, progesterone heavy rather than estrogen heavy. And the reason for that is progesterone helps to release GABA so that we could calm down her nervous system a little bit and help her to be calm, a little more calm. And sure, the osteoporosis was severe, so we had to give her enough estrogen to stop that bone loss because the cortisol had been eating it away for years and years and years. So what happened? Well, in a couple weeks, she noticed more energy and she noticed she was sleeping deeply. But I said, you got to stick with it. This is not a quick fix. It takes a good 90 days just to re-establish the HPA axis. But you've been suffering like this for years, so you need to really give this time. And what she found is the longer she took it, the calmer she felt, the better she felt, the more energy she felt. I absolutely forbade her to do any intense exercise. I want you to do just weight resistance, I told her. That'll help build your bones. You'll feel like you've done something, but I don't want you to do crazy exercise because you are burnt out. Okay. We need to calm your adrenals down in that sense so that you can get some sleep at night. And she tended to have, when she'd have that spike at night, that's when she would exercise, which is totally the wrong time to exercise. I want you to get up in the morning and do a little weight resistance then. She's like, I have no energy. I'm like, you will. And that's when you're going to do your exercise because that is going to be better for your metabolism. And she did. She had more energy eventually in the morning. She started lasting all day long. Because she was still kind of a stressed out person, this the way her personality was. I would actually have her take a little extra of the Genesis Gold when she was under major stress. And she was. Her husband developed prostate cancer, and that was very stressful for her. So she took a little extra then, but not all the time. And that helped her through that process. But we were able to thin down so much of what she was taking. Because she was just kind of chasing symptoms and not really treating upstream. She was chasing symptoms downstream with everything that she was taking. And we were able to simplify her protocol and get her so that she actually was could sleep at night, had more energy during the day, got more done, and she was able to go back to her exercise routine, but she realized she couldn't do that at night. That had to be during the day, which is metabolically the proper time to do it. It took a while. She had severe osteoporosis, but 6 years later, she had normal bone density.
Wow.
Okay. We also gave her, you know, calming bone building minerals, all of that stuff, and made sure she was eating more. And she fought me on that, but, you know, to try to get more protein and fat in her diet, and showed her that you need this for your bones. Okay. And she did. And the radiologist was shocked that she was able to reverse her osteoporosis. But we had to turn down the cortisol spike and get her sex hormones back up and get that hypothalamus doing what it needed to do so it can orchestrate this whole system and the inflammation can go down and she could start building instead of tearing down her.
Wow. Is that typical with your clients? What was your biggest lesson from that case?
That healing takes time. You know, they want a quick fix. Everybody does. I do. Everybody wants to feel better right away. But that's not how the body works, you know. And most of the time when you take a drug or even an herb that is meant for, like, let's say, antihistamine purposes or for belly cramps or for libido, you might get this little spike, but it's not going to last because you haven't treated the root issue. Okay. So I like to go for that hypothalamic support. Hypothalamus is really optimized, so that you're not having to take all this extra stuff. And what I have found, and this is kind of the incredible part, is the majority of my patients who really stick with hypothalamic support for years, they find it works, and it's a foundational support for them. They measure biologically much younger than their age, much, much younger. Okay. And we're talking now they're in their midlife, maybe even older than that, you know, past midlife. And it's because the hypothalamus also controls aging, which we'll talk about in another episode. It controls pretty much everything.
So thank you so much, Deborah, for being here today and for addressing this. Like I said, I've been studying hormones for a long time. I'm 41. I'm going through a lot of changes in my body and been struggling myself. And so I wanted to kind of understand what was going on in my own body. And same thing with me, as I was like, I want to feel better now. And I'm realizing that real healing, like you said, it does take a lot of time. And it takes the right kind of support and really like knowing what is going on in the body and someone like you to, you know, troubleshoot those things. So I would love for you to tell the audience, if someone listening only remembers one or two things from today's episode, what would you want them to remember?
Well, I want you to remember that, first of all, it's not your fault you're at this point. Learned behaviors, providers that haven't been listening to you, lab tests that supposedly look normal. No one's really looked at you with these lenses of, is it your hypothalamus? Could we possibly support that? And the second thing is, the more you educate yourself, like listening to shows like this, you know, reading the books, the audios, you know, my hypothalamus reset bundle that I created for your audience is the hypothalamus handbook. It's the guidebook that I use, that my patients use, that clinicians use to figure out what's happening in the body. But I also did a video tour, if you're not a reader, that's okay. I'm going to take you through the case studies by video so that you can see what your pattern is and you'll recognize your pattern. I covered the ages, the genders, I have kids, I have old people, all in these case studies with multiple problems, way more than just adrenal fatigue, okay? So you can see your patterns and see how the hypothalamus is related to that. And that will, the more you understand about how your body works, the better driver you're going to be of this body. You'll make better choices. And I got to tell you that when my patients actually start supporting the hypothalamus nutraceutically, they naturally make better choices. They choose better things for their body because their hypothalamus starts talking to them and saying, listen, I need more sleep. You need to turn off the lights. You know, I really need orange vegetables. I could use some more greens. I really need some more hugs. Could you please be with some other people? You know, so it really starts guiding you on what your body really needs to heal. You can find my hypothalamus reset bundle at thehormonequeen.com/advisor. And that's where you'll learn everything you need to know about the hypothalamus, and I'll guide you through the process in this.
Amazing. I love it. Thank you so much. Is there one or two things the audience can start doing to support their hypothalamus, like this week, if someone wants to get started?
One thing that would be very supportive of your hypothalamus is turning on your parasympathetic nervous system. And there's some brand new studies that show that humming, any song, something that makes you feel good, but the vibration of humming actually stimulates your vagal nerve, which is the big nerve that runs your parasympathetic nervous system. And by doing that, it calms down that sympathetic nervous system response, and that'll help your adrenals not be overfiring and calm your body down. That tells your hypothalamus you're safe. So just do it 5 minutes every day. Hum, whatever you want. Could be the alphabet. I like to hum a lullaby I used to sing to my babies while I was breastfeeding them. It's very calming. Plus, it reminds my body of oxytocin because that's what I would make at that time. So it's very calming, and it'll help your hypothalamus feel safe.
Amazing. Amazing tips. Amazing conversation. Thank you so much for your knowledge. I'm excited for future episodes to go deeper into all of this. So thank you so much for being here today.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much.
And I want to thank our wonderful audience for tuning in. I absolutely love today's conversation because I think Deborah really challenged one of the biggest assumptions in modern health, that it's the symptoms that are the problem. Today, Deborah showed us that sometimes the real answer is much higher upstream. And when we understand the body's master control center, we stop chasing symptoms and we start asking better questions. So if today's episode opened your eyes, please be sure to download Deborah's free hypothalamus reset bundle in the show notes. And you can also learn more about her work, Genesis Gold, Sacred Seven, and her book, Root Healing Consultation, using the links below. And don't miss the next episode where we're talking about one of the biggest myths in women's health. So you're going to have to stay tuned to learn what that is. Until next time, you guys, take care. Bye.